Okay, before we start, I did some research into the Masechet and the uniqueness of the Masechet. So first of all, there's a, as I mentioned yesterday, there's a bunch of Masechtot that have a strange nisuach to it. The Lishonot are weird. Some of the words are different. Some of the types of things that go on are different. Also, the Perushim we talked about are different. So Rashi, it seems, is not written by Rashi himself. It's ascribed to Rashi, but it's not really written by Rashi. Tosfot, I wasn't even looking. Tosfot is on the page, okay? You're just not in the typical place. If you see on the side, usually where Rabbeinu Hananel is, or like those commentaries on the side, so it says Tosafot on the side. It's very teeny. What I read is that the Tosfot there is also, like, it's a messed up nusach. It's not so clear cut. People don't learn it as much. The main people, the main Perushim that we're going to use are the Ran, which is where Tosfot usually is, and the Perush Harosh, which is on the other side of the page. Okay. Basically, what I tried to find out is what the academics say about why Nedarim is different and what the story is. So there's a few different theories given. One is that, first of all, one claim is by Yitzhak Isaac Halevi in this book, Dorot HaRishonim, which is a book that kind of talks about, I don't remember all the details about this book, but the truth is I don't remember so much about it. I learned about it in university. But anyway, he claims that it's more like the Rishalmi. And he thinks, you know, and he tries to kind of go along that path. And he claims that in the time of the Sfaraim, we talked about them yesterday, right, the people that came after the Amoraim between 500 and 800, they learned the Masechet only in Israel, and therefore it kind of got like that. But people don't really like this so much because they say it's really not the same as the Eretz, you know, it's really not the same as the Rishalmi, and it's not a great theory. Another was Yaakov Nachum Epstein. He's a big Choker Talmud and Mishnah, and he talks about that his theory is, one second, right, he claims that this all came, he notices, okay, this is a good thing if you're learning Daf Yomi, we'll have to pay attention, that Rava is mentioned in the Masechet, okay, this is what I read, 65 times, and Abaye is mentioned only 27, and he claims that it was the Talmud was written in the city of Rava in Mechoza, as opposed to like most of the things were going on in Surah Pumbedita and Rav Ashi kind of finished them off, and this was kind of written in a different city in Babylon, and that's why, in Babylonia, and that's why it kind of ended up with a different kind of tone to it. So I don't know, right? It's a good question. Exactly. And how many compared to Abai, right? I don't have the research in that. He obviously did some research. Okay. So it's not included in the Sikkum that I read. I found this on one of these websites that kind of was giving a perspective on it. What he said is that also it was barely learned and the Gaonim barely talk about it also. In fact, there's a source I read. I'm trying to see if it's on the sheet that I printed for myself. But that basically said, I didn't quote it, but it's a source in the Gaonim that talks about how like nobody really learns Masechet Nedarim
because of the content. Because
no,
of where it, was
it could be right. It could be it never got to their hands. Nobody really knows what happened. It could be it was just, you know, remember the books were copied and there weren't lots of copies, and it could be that if this was a little different than the other stuff in the Gemara, maybe it just wasn't passed down and it wasn't given over, you know, and the Gaonim didn't have texts in front of them and therefore they didn't really learn it. Or they got it and they thought like, oh, this is Mishuvash and this isn't good and, you know, we're just not going to learn it. It's a little strange though. I mean, these answers aren't perfect. Right? He claims that the Talmud of Mechoza never came to Surah or Pumbedita. Okay? And then he claimed that, as it says here, that their yeshivot after the Kibush HaMuslimi moved over to Baghdad. And they never had access to these texts. That's his claim. Okay? Right, and then let me just see if there was anything else here. Right. Now, that's basically what he claims is there's this black hole and we don't really know what happened with this Masechet. It's like a big, you know, nobody really knows. Even the academics who this is their field and this is what they're supposed to know, you know, they don't really know what happened and why it came out different. But different theories were given. Either it was from the Yerushalmi, you know, from the school of Eretz Yisrael, or maybe it was from a city in Bavel like Mechoza, where, you know, it just didn't for some reason get to the other cities. How far these cities were, I don't think they were so far apart, so it's a little also not so convincing. But again, the facts on the ground are it's a very different type of masechet and different wording and other things. Like, for example, one word we saw yesterday was this word inashe, which really never comes up anywhere. Like, it's a strange, it's like a strange use of a word. Anyway, okay. But it's not that. That's from today.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, they're from today.
It's not that
the people who learned it didn't know other things. It's that for some reason this masechet that was learned by whoever put it together just didn't end up being accessed by other people. It's not that they didn't have access to text. They had access to all the text, but other people.
So it wasn't a.
Right. In other words, for some reason in that time, there was less communication between the cities. At least that's the claim. It's not so convincing.
Right.
It's unclear. It's really unclear where it came from.
Because they clearly knew everything up, right?
Yeah, no, they clearly knew everything else. That wasn't the issue. Right. Particularly, you see here, they quoted from everywhere. Right. Again, we also, you have to remember, the Aricha, the organizing of it came about in stages. We even talked yesterday that maybe this whole Keta was a later edition, and we'll get to other stuff later, which, is the real meat and potatoes of the Gemara, so you can also distinguish between different layers of the Gemara. So then again, if you get to this theory, we don't know when, who put together what, and when they put it together, and when it was all, what happened to it after that. Did people not have access to it? Okay. Let's just review what we were up to. We had our Mishnah, which starts out, Kol kinuyei nedarim kinedarim v'charamim v'charamim u'shvuot kishvuot u'niziru kinizirut. Okay, it lists kinuyim of nedarim, charamim, shvuot, nizirut, which means if you use a different lashon, like a hare alai, this is going to be asur kikorban. So instead of saying kikorban, you say kikonam or kikonas or one of those lashonot. But immediately the Mishnah jumps, and that was our whole issue, to giving an example, and it gives an example of yadot, which is not that you're using a different word instead of the korban word, because remember we said in neder, generally we say it's asur alai kikorban, or you could just say it's asur, but if you use a different lashon of the word korban, or again, obviously for cherem it would be a different word for cherem, and for shvuot it would be a different word for shvuah, and for each one would have its own kinuyim. And then we move to yadot, which is an incomplete sentence, meaning it doesn't say aser and it doesn't say korban, right? It just says mudrani mimcha, mufrashni mimcha, muruchachni mimcha, shani ochel lecha, or shani toem lecha, right? You say basically, I'm going to be distanced from you from eating from you, something like that. But you never say aser, you never say korban or konam or some sort of word like that. The whole question was, first we said, why is the Mishnah structure where it lists neder, cherem, nazir, shvuot and nazir when last time the next Masechet Nazir, it only lists Nazir, and it starts off the same way, Kokinuyei Nizirut Kinizirut. And we said, well, here we have Neder, because Neder and Shvuah go together in the Pasuk. So because we have Neder and Shvuah, they said, well, because Neder and Shvuah are together in the Pasuk, let's put Neder and Shvuah together here. Once they were already doing two, they added four, and then they added Cherem and Nazir. And if you notice, they added in a different order, and that we said because Cherem is like Nazir, and that got us into our discussion about the Neder and Cherem are both in Isur Chetza. You're forbidding an object to you, and Shvuah is an Isur Gavra, where you're basically forbidding yourself to something. Okay, and Hareni Nazir, I guess, would also be an Isur Gavra, because you're saying, I'm going to be a Nazir. Okay, then we said, why did it start with Kinuyim? And then give an example of yadot. And then it jumps back. We're going to see in a minute later that then it starts to give an example of kinuyim. First of all, it never even mentions the word yadot nidarim kinidarim. Okay? And it doesn't give then the structure, right? It starts kinuyim, yadot in the middle, and then goes back to kinuyim. It doesn't make any sense. So what the Gemara answered, if you remember, was, and that's at the top of the sheet I made for today, just to review what we're up to. The Gemara said, Chisuri mechaser v'hachi katane. There's words missing in the Mishnah, and the way the Mishnah should read is very simply, kol kinuyei nidarim kinidarim, right? And then, v'yadot nidarim kinidarim. Okay, so we should add that phrase. So we have, any kinuy is considered just like a neder, and any yadot is considered just like a neder also, if you say an incomplete sentence. Then it gives the perush for yadot, and then it's going to go back to the perush for kinuyim. And that's basically what we call an ABBA structure. And that was our whole question. The Gemara, why is it ABBA? So then the Gemara says, first the Gemara says, oh, well, we have all sorts of Mishnayot that are ABBA. Like, for example, I'll give one. B'me madlikin and b'me ein madlikin. Ein madlikin lo b'lechesh v'lo b'choset. Right? So you have, we start off with, what do you light with? What don't you light with on Shabbat? Which shmanim can you use? And then it started with the second one. It did ABBA, and it only after got to the first one of b'me madlikin. Then the Gemara said, but wait, we have all these other ones that are A, B, C, D, A, B, C, D, right? It went, it started with Bameh, the, you know, Yesh, this and that, and Yesh, you know, Yesh, this, the, and that, and Yesh, the, blah, 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 blah. And then it said, it goes back to case number A when it wants to get into the details. So then the answer we ended up with was, in these cases of A, B, C, D, all those cases were four things, or three things, or a longer list, and because of that, it's too confusing to do A, B, C, D, D, C, B, A. Much simpler to go back to the first part of the list and do A, B, C, D, A, B, C, D. That's where we ended, and then we just have one question that we ended with. We'll start there. They say, but wait a minute. Veha, if you want to say that we're going to distinguish between lists that are of two and lists that are of four. So lists that are of two, we're always going to do ABBA. And lists that are four, we're going to do ABCD, ABCD. So now the Gemara is going to say, but wait, we have an example of two where it does ABAB. So that knocks out that answer. So what does it say? What can an animal go out carrying and what can he not go out carrying? So what are the answer? Right, they say delo avsha, where there's not a lot of things on that list. Bekatane, and what's the first line there? Yotze hagamal, which relates to the first thing. Rame behema yotza. Okay, so now we're getting to the top of Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Gemara answers elalav dafka. Zimnin mefarish hu depatach bereisha. Zimnin hu desalik mefarish bereisha. That's what we landed with yesterday. Sometimes it does ABBA, sometimes it does ABAB. The Gemara, you know, the Mishnah has different styles. We talked about yesterday that historically speaking, the Mishnah is a collection of things that were already written and that they were memorizing Baal Peh. And some people had, you know, some people it was easier to remember ABBA, some people it was easier to remember ABAB, so each one took their own approach. And our Mishnah is a conglomeration of all of them, so sometimes it's like one and sometimes it's like another. Here's a second possible answer. V'ibayt ema, yadot, aydei da'atya midrasha, mifarish lahom bereisha. Since yadot, how do we learn yadot? We learn it from a drasha. We're going to see soon where we learn it from. Okay, there's going to be a whole long slew of, that's going to be this whole chart here. What's the makor for yadot? Where do we learn it from? Okay, so because it's learned out from a drasha, we've seen this before, by the way, I don't remember when, but a very long time ago. Things that are learned from a drasha are chavivim on the chachamim, because they learned it out. You know, it's like you learn something, it means more to you when you learn it yourself rather than it's just written in the Torah. So because of that, they said, let's start explaining yadot first because it's chaviv aleinu, because we learned it from a drasha. So now we're going to see that there's a little bit of a problem with that. The lifta chadam bereisha, right? So if that's the case, you should start with that first. It should say, right? Yadot, right? Remember, once we did this chisur mechasre, what did we say? That really it says kinuim are like nidarim. Yadot of nidarim are like nidarim. And then it's our perish yadot, and then it's our perish kinuim. So it should have done yadot kinuim, if really it's chaviv and it wants to be first. So what are the answer? The answer is miftach patach b'kinuim de oraita b'reisha v'had mefarish yadot de'atel midrasha. Okay, so now, there's always a balance, right? On the one hand, we love Divrei Chachamim, they learn from a drasha. On the other hand, d'oraita, things are stronger. So we do a combination. We start with kinuyim because they're d'oraita, but when it comes to the lefaresh, we're going to start explaining what is d'rabbanan because we like that better, but they came from a drasha. So that's their answer right now. So now they're going to say, how do we know that yadot are d'oraita? Okay, and we're going to see that it depends. There's two approaches about how we treat kinuyim, I meant to say. There's two approaches about how we understand kinuyim. I made reference to this yesterday, now we're going to see it inside. Hanicha lamanda amar kinuyim lashon nochrim hem. If you say kinuyim are the lashon of nochrim, okay, like the goyim that were around them, that's the words they were using. And that means, like, for example, if you say, I swear, okay, why is that a neder? That's really a kinoy, right? It's a translation. It's a different word. But why is it a neder? Because basically you mean the exact same thing. How do we know you mean the exact same thing? Because it's a lashon of the nachorim. In other words, you're using a lashon of someone else to basically say what you want to say. So you're expressing exactly what you would have expressed it. You expressed it in the lashon of kikorba. So if you say, which is one approach to say, the kinuyim are lashon nochrim hem, then we understand, kinuyim are doraita, yadoda learned out from a drasha. So we're going to start with kinuyim, we're going to move to yado, then we're going to be mefarish yado first because we like it because it's a drasha, and then we'll go back to kinuyim. But, ela lamanda amar lashon shebadu lahem chachamim liot no derbo, mai ikalamemer. If you say the kinuyim are a special language the Chachamim came up with, that's why you're going to see them. They seem very strange. Konam, right? Korban, konam, konas. Or nazir, we saw nazik, pazik. All sorts of weird, like, what is this? Okay? So it could be, one approach is to say Chachamim came up with lishonot of words that are similar to the words, that the original word, and it's their own kind of language. Now, once you say that, then what happens? Kinuyim are no longer doraita, they're really derabanan, because they're words that our own chachamim came up with, in which case we'd say the same thing, they're chaviv aleinu. And then we should start with them first. So if you say that, ma'ika lamera, so then what can we say about this order? So now they say, wait a minute. The whole question was based on that the order of the Mishnah is like this. Kinuyim yadot, perush yadot, perush kinuyim, right? The Gemara says very simply, Miktana Yadot. It never says Yadot in the Mishnah. The Lav Chisurik HaMacharsale, right? Didn't we just say the word Yadot, Yadot, Nidarim, Kinidarim, that whole phrase is missing, right? And we added it in. So what do you think we're going to say now? Abdinami Vitane Yadot. Kol Yadot, Nidarim, Kinidarim. Bekol Kinuye, Nidarim, Kinidarim. Ve'elu hein Yadot, Ha'omer L'chaviro. Ve'elu hein Kinuyim, Konam, Konach, Konas. Understand? What are they saying? If we're already saying it's missing words, so why do you have to assume it's missing words and the yado comes after? Really, we can say that if it's missing words, where's the missing words in the first line? Kol yado nidarim kinidarim, it should say. Bekol kinuye nidarim kinidarim, in which case our structure would be, I'm going to keep the B where the B was, the yado was B, B-A-B-A. You follow? And then we can answer, oh, yeah, they're both derabanan, but yadoto learned from a drasha in the pasuk, and therefore we're going to say the drashot are more chaviv aleinu. So we're going to start with yadot, both in the first line and in the middle, right? We're going to do B-A-B-A, yadot is the first line, then comes kinuyim, then comes the parish of yadot, then comes the parish of kinuyim, which obviously then basically erases the whole amud yesterday that we did about why is it A-B-B-A, because it's no longer A-B-B-A. Okay, and it's what's funny here, almost funny, right? It's a little comical, that this whole discussion, long discussion we had about the ABBA was all based on that we're adding words in, and then where are we adding the words? It wasn't even based on the real nusach of the Mishnah, right? It was, and now the Gemara just throws that upside down and says, well, we could just add those words in the beginning. Now, obviously, there's logic to say that if words are missing, they're generally missing in the middle, you know, usually, or at least, I don't know, maybe not. You could say they were missing from anywhere, but that's what the Gemara is going to say. So we basically have two approaches. One is assuming, if we assume the kinuyim are lashon nochrim, then we assume the kinuyim are doraita, so then we start off doraita, we move into the yadot, but then when it comes to the perush, we're going to start with the perush of yadot because of chavivim aleinu. The other approach is to say everything's derabanan because it's also kinuyim or lashon shabadu lahem chachamim that they created, in which case everything's derabanan, in which case the way to understand it is to basically say if you want to stick with this perush, that yadot are chaviv because they came from a drasha. So we're going to start with yadot and then we're going to also, when we say what was missing in the Mishnah, we're going to add it in the beginning before kinuyim. And then we have B-A-B-A and that's our structure. Okay. Now the Gemara wants to get to where do we learn yadot from? Okay, v'yadot hechaktiv. Where are they written in the Torah? So, the pasuk starts like this. Ish ki afli lindur neder nazir lahazir lahashem. Okay, this is in the context of nazir. It says, when a person is yafli, we're going to learn about this word, this hafla'ah, he expresses with words. Lindur neder, we talked about yesterday, that you have to express it in words. To make a neder, nazir lahazir. Okay, what is this nazir lahazir? It's a very weird lashon. You see the difference between lindur neder and nazir lahazir? Lindur neder is very typical, right? You're going to be noder a neder. That's the way we would normally speak. We're going to see this further on in the Gemara. That's why I want to be makdim. But the words lindur neder nazir lahazir doesn't make sense, right? To make a neder nazir to be mezir lahashem, like what is? Why is there dual lashon? So what do they do with this dual lashon? V'tanya, we have a braita. Nazir lahazir. What do we learn from nazir lahazir? Lasot kinuye nizirut, nizirut kinizirut, v'yadot nizirut kinizirut. Ah, the dual lashon teaches us that it's not just if you say hareni nazir, but if you say something similar, like you say yad of it, right, where it's not a full sentence, or you say nazik, nazik, pazik, all those lashonot of kinuyim of nazirut. So they say that from the dual lashon of nazir lahazir, we learn the yadot and kinuyim for nidari, for nazir. Once we learn it for nazir, what are we going to say? Ainli ela b'nizirut. This is a very typical structure of a midrash halacha, right? What does it say? That only applies for a nazir. B'nidarim minayim. Where do we know it true for nidarim? Talmud lomar. Ish ki afli lindor neder nazir lahashem. Mekish nizirut l'nidarim u'nidarim l'nizirut. Okay, what do we learn from here? This is what we call a hekesh. It's when you have two things that appear in the pasuk next to each other. We're going to learn from one to the other. So, very simply, we're going to learn from nazir to neder about the kinoy and the yadot. And we're going to learn other things from neder to nazir. We're going to read that inside right now. Okay. Ma nizirut, asabo yadon nizirut ki nizirut, af nidarim, asabahem yadon nidarim ki nidarim. Right? Just like by nazir, the yadot and the kinuyim were considered valid. Likewise by nidarim. Now we're going to have some other ones, which we're only going to get back to at the end of the daf. Uman nidarim over bebal yachel ubebal ta'acher, af nizirut over bebal yachel ubebal ta'acher. Just like by neder, the pasuk by neder, this isn't the pasuk by neder, right? The pasuk we just quoted was the pasuk by nazir. But the pasuk by neder, it says, if you take a neder or a shvua, right? It says, lo yachel devaro, we saw this yesterday, you can't be mechalel what you said. And there's also an isser of bal ta'achir. You can't lo ta'achir. I forgot the pasuk, but let's see if it says it here. Here. That's talking about a neder. Generally, that the pasuk really seems to mean if you're a nadir, we talked about nidre isur and nidre hekdesh. If you say I'm going to bring something to the Beit HaMikdash, so you have to do it bismano. Okay, if anyone's, it's a little stuffy in here. If someone wants to just move the temperature down 1 degree, that would be great. Okay, so if you're no der neder, you have to do it in a timely fashion. What does this mean generally? It means that you have a cycle of three regalim, and if you pass the three regalim, then you've been over on this isser. Okay, you say I'm going to bring something to the Beit HaMikdash, you have three regalim, like a cycle of the three regalim, right, depending on where you are in the year, it might affect how long you have. It'll be a different amount of time, but it's the three regalim, you have to pay them back. And if you don't, I think, if I recall correctly, we actually learned this in Beitza, right? There was the machloket. There was a whole thing. Is it one regal? Is it two? There's a long machloket. Yeah. I think the psak is three regalim, but we saw all different interpretations. Is it one regal? Is it right? The season, right? Or is it a whole year? There were all different options about what bal ta'achir is. Okay, so now we're going to say that just like in nidarim, there's an issue of bal yachel and bal ta'achir. Also by nazir, there's bal yachel and bal ta'achir. Okay, what this means by nazir, we're going to see at the very end of the daf. So we're going to hold off on this right now, because right now this is just quoted in the context. Remember, why did we quote this? We wanted to know how we know about yadot of neder. What did we say? Ah, we have a hekesh, right? Because it says it by nazir, we're going to learn it to neder. And then once we were quoting the braita, we quoted the whole braita, which mentioned the flip, which is other things we're going to learn from neder to nazir. So here are some other things we're going to learn from neder to nazir. Uman nidarim ha'av mefer nidre bito u'bal mefer nidre ishto. Af nizirut ha'av mefer nizirut bito u'bal mefer nizirut ishto. If a woman takes on a nizirut, just like when she does a neder, the husband can cancel it or the father can cancel it. Likewise, when she does nizirut, if she says hareni nazir and the husband wants to cancel it, the father wants to cancel it, they're allowed to cancel it. Okay? So now they say, okay, that's the end of the braita.
What do you mean, they can cancel with her approval, without her approval?
Without her approval. This is a whole halacha we're going to see. We're going to get into this more. That we learned already, we saw it in the last masechah, but we're going to see it more here, that if a woman takes a neder, the husband, while she's married, the husband can cancel her vows. He has to do it within the first day of hearing of it. He doesn't have, 2 years later, he can say, by the way, I'm canceling your neder. Within the day of hearing about it, he has that day to cancel it. If he cancels it, it's invalid. Likewise, the father. Before she's married, the father can do the same. Once she's engaged, you need both of them to cancel them. Okay, both the father and the husband need to cancel them together. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Because they both sort of have ownership over her in that time period. And we also saw that there was a limitation on which types of nidarim he could do it on. That it wasn't clear-cut that he could do it on anything. It had to be things that affected him personally. Okay? It was a whole thing, and that's certainly with a husband. With a father, I don't think that was the case. I think it's just with the husband. The other thing to point out, which is something I found very interesting, I once spoke in school, my daughter's class, about Daf Yomi for women, and I did some research about women going into fields that were generally not nahu, you know, for women to be part of in all parts of the world. So I found that in the late 1800s in America, there was a court case, a Supreme Court case, about a woman who wanted to be a lawyer, and they wouldn't let her practice law. I must have mentioned this before, because
her husband could
cancel any contract that she wrote. In the late 1800s in America, women were not allowed to, you know, if a woman wrote a contract, her husband had rights to cancel it. Okay, so basically they couldn't have a woman be a lawyer, and this woman I think was single, and they said though, because you know, you might end up getting married, right? It sounds like something very typical in Jewish sources, right? Yeah, you're not married now, you know. Well, it's true, you don't have, let's say, mitzvot aseh shasman grama, right? So you don't have obligations on you when you're single, you know, that would prevent you, let's say, if you assume that the reason you're putter is because you have household chores on you and, you know, other things. So even though the girls were part of the household chores, they certainly didn't have the responsibility that the mothers do, and maybe they shouldn't be putter from mitzvah to say shasman grama. But on the other hand, nobody's saying, oh yeah, you know, all of you are chayav. Although I had a discussion Shavuot night with a bunch of high school kids, and one of them suggested that they said, why don't the rabbis get up and change the whole mitzvah aseh shasman grama and basically say the girls are chayav, because really there's no reason anymore nowadays. Women aren't in the kitchen all the time. They're not, you know, doing laundry by hand. They're, you know, yes, we do feel like we're in the kitchen often, but it's not the same as it was then. Anyway, food for, you know, rabbis to think about in the future about changing halacha. Okay, I don't know if all women would be happy with that. Okay, so that being said, while it seems strange to us that a husband can cancel a vow of a woman, you see that even in the late 1800s in America, this wasn't such a strange thing. Okay, Kal v'chomer, right, in the, you know, 3rd, 4th, 5th century in Jewish thought. Okay, so now that's another thing we're comparing from Neder to Nazir. Okay, so now they're going to say, now that they're done with this braita, now they're going to ask a question going back to our Yadot issue. So we're learning Yadot from Nazirut, and from Nazirut we're learning it too, right? How did we learn it? From this word, this phrase, Nazir Lehazir, right? Nazir Lehazir comes to include Kinuyim and Yadot, and then what are we saying? We're going to learn from there to Neder from a Hekesh. Okay, so now the Gemara wants to ask, Maishna Gabe Nazirut Dichtiv Nazir Lehazir? Nidarim nami hachtiv lindor neder. In other words, why did you learn it from nazir lahazir? There's also double lashon by neder, nadir neder lindor neder. So they say behekesh alamali, and then why would you even need the hekesh? So what do they say? I katav neder lindor kidekatav nazir lahazir kideka amarta. I katav neder lindor kidekatav and nazir lahazir kideka amarta lo tzari hekesha. If it had said neder lindor, like it said nazir lahazir, in other words, there's a difference between neder lindor, and this is how I started, and lindor neder. Lindor neder is a very typical lashon. But neder lindor, which would be the parallel to nazir lahazir, they're saying if the pasuk had said neder lindor, then you would have a good question. It would make sense. But if you say that it's lindor neder, so that's just a typical way of speaking. We don't have room to darshan things that are a typical way of manner of speech. When do we darshan? When something's a unique formulation. This is not a unique formulation. Or maybe we do. We're going to see in a second. So what do they say? Dibra Torah, hasha dichtiv, because it says lindor neder, dibra Torah kelashon b'nei adam. That's just a typical manner of speaking. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute. Not everybody agrees with that tfisa, that Dibra Torah kol shom b'nei adam, right? It's a very interesting thing, right? God, we believe, right, that the Torah was written by God, passed down by God, right? That's why we have the power to darshan. But if we say Dibra Torah kol shom b'nei adam, what, God spoke in man's way? What does that mean? Okay, so, we're going to see that there's a machloket. There's a basic machloket. Do we say dibra Torah kelshon b'nei adam, which means that if there's a typical way of speaking, the way men speak, and even though it's a double lashon, like lindor neder, we don't darshan it because we just say that's the way people speak. Or do we say, even though, right, the Torah is lo dibra kelshon b'nei adam, and therefore, since there's a double lashon, even if a person would normally speak that way, the Torah must mean it to darshan it. Okay, so if we say hani chalaman damar, that all works if you say di le dibra Torah kelshon b'nei adam. And therefore, what? Lindor neder is not open for drashot. Nazir lahazir is open for drashot. We learn yadot from nazir lahazir. And because they're both together in the pasuk, we can make a hekesh. That works. Ela laman de lele dibra Torah kelshon b'nei adam. People who say we don't say that, we don't think that, and therefore you can be darshaning neder lindor. So hi lindor neder my avid lay. What do we do with it? So what do they answer? Okay, for this now we're going to the other side of this chart. The chart has, if you say dibra Torah kelshon b'nei adam, then we learn it from nazir. But if you say lo dibra kelshon b'nei adam, we're going to see now two ways of thinking. First, we're going to start with this one. We're going to keep with it for a little while, and then we're going to see the third option. Okay? So, if you say, Lo dibra Torah kelshon b'nei adam, Hai lindor neder mayavid leh, Darish leh lasot yadot nedarim ki nedarim, Umakish nizirut leh nedarim. Okay? So now, what do we have? We have lindor neder. Instead of nazir lahazir, we're going to erase these words, and say, we dafka learn lindor neder. That's where we learn yadot from. In that case, what are we going to do with nazir lahazir? Okay, now we're stuck with the other lashon. If we learn from neder, lindor, neder, and then we make a hekesh to nazir, so what are we going to do with the words nazir lahazir? Okay, so umakish nizirut lenedarim, right? We have a hekesh. And then nazir lahazir darish lay, what are we going to use it for? Milamed shahanizirut chal al hanizirut. This is a very interesting halacha. Somebody is a nazir. They say Hareini Nazir. And while they're in Nazir, they say again the words Hareini Nazir. Now, Stam Nizirut, if you say I'm a Nazir, Stam Nizirut is Shloshim Yom, 30 days. So now if you say I'm going to be a Nazir, and then you say it again, I'm going to be a Nazir, right? Do we say, well, you're already a Nazir, it doesn't mean anything. Or do we say HaNizirut Chal Al HaNizirut, which means if you say while you're a Nazir, I'm a Nazir, you create a new chalut of a new nizirut. So when you're done with your first 30 days, you have to start with another 30 days of nizirut, okay? And then for each one, you know, there's things. You have to be megalech at the end. You have to bring korbanot. There's all sorts of things you have to do. Each one is judged and independent, and one is chal after the other finishes.
So you cut your hair and whatever and then start
again. Exactly. And then you start again.
This only applies to nizirut, not to other nizirut.
Right, because other nedarim, yeah. Right, it would be a good question. What if you said, I won't eat fruits for 30 days, and then you say again, I won't eat fruits for 30 days?
It says, if you said, yeah, the bread is konam to me today and repeat it, it doesn't mean you can't
it have doesn't
it for
work. Okay, yeah. Right, it's just for nizirut. So, we're going to see, though, there's a machloket about this. Not everybody agrees, okay? There's a machloket, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, about whether if you say, okay, we'll see it when we get to Masech and Nazir more in depth, but there's a machloket about it, what happens? So, what do you say? Nazir lahazir comes to teach you the double lashon that you can have in nizirut, chalal nizirut. That's obviously only going to work if you say nizirut, chalal nizirut, and not if you disagree. Can you do it a third time? That's a good question. I assume you could do it a third time. I assume there's no reason not to. Yeah, I don't
because
know.
Because the language is only double. So
right.
You could say, well, it didn't. You know,
right. Okay. Ulamanda amar. Now remember, we're going back now to the other person. Ulamanda amar. Dibra Torah kelshon b'nei adam, v'nazir lahazir darish lasot yadot nizirut ki nizirut, shanazirut chala nizirut b'nale. So where does the other guy learn nizirut chala nizirut? The first guy, remember, Dibra Torah kelshon b'nei adam said we learn from nazir lahazir that yadot are like nizirut, right? So now, where did they learn nizirut chala nizirut? So, we're going to see, right? Hanicha, it's very simple. Isvira le kaman damar, ein nizirut chal al nizirut, right? By the way, in the chart, I'm here now at the bottom. The bottom of that chart. According to Dibra Torah kelshon b'nei adam, we have a question. Where do we learn nizirut chal al nizirut? So we have two options. Either we say, the person who wrote that brayta doesn't think that nizirut is chal al nizirut. Very simple. And then he doesn't need to learn it from anywhere. Ela isvira le kaman damar, but if he holds, like the one who holds nizirut chal al nizirut, minale, where does he learn it from? Neimakra lizur. We've seen this many times before. What's this theory? You can learn two things from a pasuk, okay? How can you learn two things? Because you can say, number one, it has double, right? It says nazir lahazir. Number two, it could have said more simply, nazir lizur. But because it says lehazir, the hey adds something additional. Okay? We had this from like na'ara, hana'ara. Remember, we had a bunch of different drashot like that. My lehazir, shmat minatarte. We can learn two things. Because generally we have this concept, when it comes to drashot, you can learn one thing from one pasuk, let's say, or one word. But if there's two aspects of the word that we can darshan it from, so very simple. We say, could have said lizur. It said lahazir. That comes to include an additional thing. So we learn nazir lahazir, that it comes to include yado. And when we take the word lahazir alone and we say, the hey in lahazir is unique, it comes to add the niziru chala niziru. That's the way they answer it up. Now we're going to see a third approach. So we have two approaches right now. Either dibrak l'sham ben adam, and we learn it from nazir lahazir. Again, we're going back to yadot. Or we say lo dibrak l'sham ben adam, and then we learn it from lindor neder. Okay? Now we have a third approach. But ma'arava amre, in Eretz Yisrael, they said, okay, this is always right in the Babli, they're quoting things that they heard from Israel. In Israel, they say, it tana demapik le liyadot min lindor neder. There's one tana that learns it from lindor neder. V'itana demapik le min kol ayotze mipiv ya'aseh. Okay, there's another approach to say it's not from lindor neder, it's learned from the words kol ayotze mipiv ya'aseh. We saw this yesterday, that adds a mitzvah aseh to keeping your neder. And in addition, what does it say? Kol ayotze mipiv, anything that comes out of your mouth. What do you think that includes? Any kind of phraseology that you use that would imply that you want to take a neder upon yourself. Okay. That's basically the whole source for Yadot. We're now done with the discussion on that. We can now go back to, again, typical structure of Gemara. They quoted a Braita, even though the end of it wasn't relevant for our purposes, but they quoted the whole thing in its entirety. Now that they quoted it, well, we want to understand what it means. Okay, what's this Bal Yachel and Bal Ta'acher when it comes to Nazir? That's what we're going to see till we get to the end of the daf today. Amar Mar always means, it's like linking, I always say, right, like internet, it links into what something it mentioned before, right? It's like you go into a link, we want to go more in depth. Basically, Amar Mar means someone said, okay? So someone said, meaning we're quoting something we brought up earlier, and now we're going to go in depth. Uma nedarim over bebal yachel ubal ta'acher. Okay, and then the continuation, obviously, is also nizirut is like that. Bishlama bal yachel de nidarim. We understand what it means, bal yachel of nidarim. What does it mean? Lo lechalel dvaro, right? Don't desecrate what you said, meaning keep what you said, basically. In other words, except that it's a lo ta'aseh. Mishkachala, when do we find that? What's a good example? Kegon de amar, ki kar ze ochal, I will eat this loaf of bread, right? I'm taking a neder that I will eat this loaf of bread. Velo achla, and then he doesn't eat it. Clearly, over mishum bal yachel dvaro, right? He didn't keep to his word. Ela bal yachel de nizirut hechi mishkachala. Kevan de amar, what's the problem with nizirut? Kevan de amar hareni nazir, havale nazir. Okay, he says hareni nazir, he becomes a nazir. Achal, what if he eats grapes? He's not allowed to eat grapes. Kamle bebal yochal. It's usher not because of bal yachel dvaro, it's usher because of he's not allowed to eat grapes. It says on the pasuk specifically, you can't eat grapes. Shata, kamle bebal yishtep. He drinks wine. It's aser mishum bal yishteh. You can't drink wine. So you don't need an additional lo ta'aseh. When it comes to nedarim, there was only one lo ta'aseh. Okay, again, this is something we've seen before. Amar Rava, the answer is lavor ala b'shnayim. You could have situations where you're over on two mitzvot lo ta'aseh at the same time. You do one act, and you're right. We saw acts where you were six times. Okay, you got, like, what does it mean? You get two malkot here. Okay, you get malkot for one lotase, and you get malkot for the second lotase. By doing one act, you could actually get two different punishments. Because basically what it's saying is you've done two things wrong. Okay, you haven't kept to your word, and you ate, you know, you shouldn't have been eating, even though they really are somewhat one thing, but they say it's two different isurim. But now it's going to be more complicated to figure out what does it mean you have to do things in a timely fashion when it comes to nizirut. So what do they say? Kevan de amar hareni nazir, havale nazir. Here's part of the question, right? If you say, I'm going to be a nazir, so you become a nazir, right? There's no delay. There's no, I didn't keep to it, right? What if you desecrated and you don't do it? Achal, right? If you start eating grapes, kamli babal yochal. It's not like you didn't become a nazir. You did become a nazir. You just didn't do, right? You did something wrong. Be'omer, okay, so what's the answer? Be'omer, if you say, okay, it's only in a specific case. If you were to say, lechisha erze ehe nazir, I'll become a nazir at some point in the future. Okay? Now, what's the issue? Right? Ve'iyamar, kisha erze, oh, so sorry, one second. If you say, at some future point, I'll become a nazir when I want. So then you're over on Baal Ta'akhir if you don't actually ever become a Nazir. But then the Gemara says, wait a minute. V'yamar chisha erzeh leka Baal Ta'akhir. In other words, if he says, when I want, and he never wants, well then he actually hasn't done anything wrong, right? Because he never actually wanted to. So his words never really happened. So that can't be it. So Amar Rava kigon de Amar lo ipater min ha'olam ad she'ehe Nazir. Diminahi shata havele Nazir. Midi dehave, whoever remembers this, ha'omer li isho ha'rezo gitech sha'achat kodem mitati. I believe we learned this. Yeah, we learned it in Yavama. Okay? So, asura le'echo b'truma miyad. Let's start with the Gittin case, okay? And then we'll go back to how it applies to Nazir. If you say, if a man says to a woman, this is your get, this will be your get an hour before I die. Why would he do this? What did we learn?
So he doesn't have to do
He doesn't want her to have to do yibum with his brother. Okay? He doesn't like the concept of her marrying his brother. So he says, before I die, now before I die, this will be your get. Okay? So now, what happens? So, every hour, if she's married to a Kohen, she's already forbidden to eat truma. Because any hour could be the hour before his death. Okay? So same thing, says Rava, by the Nazir. If he says, I will not die until I become a Nazir, meaning, right, I will become a Nazir at some point before I die, any moment could be that some point before I die. And therefore, any moment he doesn't become a Nazir, he's over on the Isra Baal Ta'akhir. Okay? Got it? Okay. So now, Alma Amrinan, Kol Sha'asha Tavashata Dilma Mayit, right? We say, just like by the Kohen, we say, maybe any moment he's going to die. Hachanami La'alter having Nazir, right? He is a Nazir immediately. Da'amrina dilma hashtamayit, because maybe I will die. Okay, we're going to end here, and we'll see some other answer tomorrow. Okay, there's going to be some other answers here as to how you could have Baal Ta'akhir by Nazirut.